Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're 20 minutes away from Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. Bobby Carella, All-City Mavs, joining you now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I've been so much better, gentlemen. I don't even know where to begin.
It's bizarre. It's unexplainable. I still feel like it's a bad dream, Bobby, and we'll get into all the extra stuff here in just a minute. What are your expectations with these injuries, my man? It's that whole part of it's surreal by itself. Gafford, PJ, Lively, AD. How many of these guys do you expect back and when?
You know, I really don't know. I'll start with the good. The fact that PJ Washington was even listed as questionable and not out last night gives me at least a little hope that maybe he can play one of these last two games, or maybe even both of them before the All-Star break. But I mean, that was a nasty looking ankle sprain. And at some point you got to ask, is it even worth it whenever a break is this close? Like, if any team ever has needed a week long break, it is this year's Mavs. But for those other two guys, you know, Daniel Gafford is a big dude, and he collapsed to the floor, grabbing his knee. That is not a good sign. They called it a sprain. Knee sprains can cost you several weeks, and if it's worse than a knee sprain, then we're talking months, not weeks. And Anthony Davis, you know, I mean, Shams provided the most optimistic outlook whenever he said that it could be 2 to 3 weeks or up to a month, if not longer. And the fact that we still have not heard results of an evaluation, you know, more than 48 hours later from the injury is a little cause for concern too. I mean, I'm trying not to, you know, go to a dark place right now, guys. Like, this organization is not making it easy for me.
So are you thinking at this point the most likely is lottery team or play-in? What's your projection here for the final 30 games or so?
Yeah, I mean, optimistically, if those three guys are able to come back, you know, relatively soon, meaning at some point in February, I think this team does have a playoff push in them, and certainly can be a play-in team, if not even a top six team. But that's the most optimistic outlook. And I mean, that's to say nothing of the fact that you now have Kyrie Irving routinely playing 40 plus minutes a game. Is he going to be able to make it to the finish line? You know, I mean, he's already got what he describes as a bulging disc in his back. He's one bad fall away from it being all over for him. And last night he played 45 minutes in a game that they did not win. And like, that's just an incredible amount of stress and work to put on his body at this point. And one of their other best players, Klay Thompson, just celebrated his 35th birthday. So even if the guys that are healthy, or the guys that are hurt can get healthy. There's no guaranteeing that the guys that are healthy right now are going to stay healthy. And so it's just, I mean, it's really hard to even think optimistically right now because of how dire this situation has suddenly become.
I was impressed with how fast you were able to just power through bulging disc in his back, because I've heard the slip up there, and that will live on forever as Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, joins us here talking Mavs. Bobby, you used to be in-game doing the arena stuff every single night for the Mavs whenever they were at home. What was your take seeing fans being ejected last night for basically just mouthing Fire Nico and protesting their really displeasure to a trade that I think most Maverick fans are upset about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear Mavs fans just want to be heard. You know, they just want to be heard. They are very upset. They're very angry, you know, and I think rightfully so, justifiably so, you know, given not only what happened with this midnight trade of Luka on a weekend in the middle of the season for a guy that's 6 years older than him and has a more extensive injury history. But even if you put all of that aside, it's also been the organization's reaction to this. Nico Harrison laughing at the press conference, saying defense wins championships, and people from the organization discussing Luka's weight very specifically, and the owner not only saying that Shaq worked harder than Luka, but not even mentioning that Dirk Nowitzki works hard himself. You know, like, there's just been these repeated instances of the organization, you know, instead of trying to repair damage or mend the fence, just doing whatever they can seemingly to make it worse, you know. And I am, you know, I'm trying to sympathize with the arena and with the franchise, at least on this one point. You want your games, you want your arenas in your, you know, the settings in which these games are played to be comfortable environments for family and for kids and all that stuff. So I get sports franchises doing this and arenas doing this, you know, ejecting fans who are screaming and, you know, maybe saying some stuff that they shouldn't be. But, you know, what I can't really understand is if somebody walks into the arena with tape over their Mavs logo, you know, they have to take the tape off. Or if you're displaying a message that isn't vulgar or that isn't too overly disrespectful, you know, you're having to get those signs confiscated or you have to turn those shirts inside out. You know, I think there's a line here that fans should be able to at least toe without getting in trouble for it. But, I mean, it seems like right now, you know, the Mavs are determined to have really a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to this sort of thing. And, I mean, I was at the fan protest on Saturday afternoon outside American Airlines Center, and it was a little vulgar. You know, there were a lot of people that want, you know, Nico Harrison to get into a different line of work and that want the Adelsons to explore the valuation of this team on the open market. But, you know, all in all, it was pretty fine. You know, there was no threats of violence. There was nothing too outrageous. You know, there were people that were really, really, really fired up and angry, but, you know, they got to vent their frustrations. And I thought that it was kind of the turning of a page until the next morning, you know, Brad Townsend's reporting these quotes from Patrick Dumont. So it's just like, I think the best way to help fans get over this is to let them vent their frustrations, and then we can all kind of move on. It's not to actively make it worse by removing fans, by talking down on your current and former players, and just doing a bunch of stuff that makes people feel sick.
Hey, Bobby, like Zach said, you've been a long part of what the Mavericks have done, you know, and over the years as far as the way they're covered. Had you ever seen Jason Kidd miss a media opportunity after a game?
No, I've never seen J. Kidd miss a press conference. And, you know, the Mavs are the only team that I've ever covered at the NBA level, but I've never seen Rick Carlisle, you know, whenever he was previously the head coach, miss one.
Now, he called me out on those when I went there.
And to my knowledge, I've never seen an opposing coach in Dallas miss one either.
Yeah.
You know, and so my initial thought was something really bad must be happening, you know. But Mark Stein, you know, we had our show earlier today, and Mark Stein said on the show, like, it's just speculation on his part, and he admitted that, but he's like, I think J. Kidd is just tired of all of this.
Sure.
I think he's just tired and fed up, and he didn't feel like talking about it because this sucks. Everything sucks. The whole team is hurt. They had to put Max Christie on Domantas Sabonis last night. It's like, what do you want me to say? You know? And like, if even the coach is at his wit's end, you know, with 2 months still left in the season, then man, that really just hammers home just how brutal 2025 has been to the Mavs so far.
We're talking Mavs with Bobby Corella here on The Fan. Now, Saturday, as this game was going on, how optimistic did it make you? How excited did you allow yourself to get over that brand of elite defensive basketball they were displaying for more than half the game against Houston.
Oh my God, it was awesome, wasn't it? It was awesome. Yeah. And, you know, all of the noise and all of the anger and sadness and emotions and stuff, like those are, that's completely understood. And I'm feeling a lot of that myself too right now. But to get to see that dude play basketball that way and the way that the rest of the team was too, I mean, it was a block party. It was ruthless. It was mean and nasty and dirty and physical. And it was just incredible until it got really bad, you know. But yeah, that 2.5, 3 quarters of basketball, I mean, I can get behind that. I can believe in that. I can support that, especially against, you know, a team like Houston that also wants to, you know, be athletic and attack the basket and play in the open floor and maybe be a little physically intimidating with their big men down low. I mean, the Mavs were the bigger, badder team on the court. And, you know, that was inspiring stuff to watch. And so I do get it. You know, I see the vision. I understand the vision. But, I mean, the two guys that led the team in blocks that day might both miss the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So it might be a really long time before we get to see that vision again. And it just, it really drives home, how many doubts and how many reasonable doubts there were among the fan base as to why they even made that move in the first place. Like, sure, it's something to believe in, but, you know, if the only proof of concept we're going to get is 2.5 quarters on a Saturday matinee, then was the trade really worth it?
It's a great question. Was it worth it? I guess we'll have to find out. I did want to ask you, Bobby, from doing the show, obviously, with Mark Stein and then Tim Cato, guys that we've had on and are well-respected, I think we kind of know how the Mavs felt about why they wanted to move on from Luka. Did you ever hear anything teammate-related that they were fed up with some of the things that the team had to deal with Luka, whether it was showing up out of shape or focusing on his own medical side of things, or is some of the stuff that you hear coming out now that he's gone, did teammates feel any type of way towards him?
I really don't think so. I mean, let's be completely honest here. There are a lot of guys that have made a lot of money from playing with Luka. And so I don't think you're ever going to find Dorian Finney-Smith, for example, say a single bad thing about him, because Dorian has made a ton of cash from playing with him. And the same can be said for a lot of guys, you know. And so Luka has their respect. And, I mean, the other thing, it's not just financial. You know, I mean, everyone has seen the pictures and the videos of Luka just getting his butt beaten throughout the playoffs last year. You know, during player intros in the finals, he's wrapped up like a mummy, you know, with ice packs everywhere. And yet he's still going out there and playing. And, I mean, that is this sort of mythical Mamba mentality that players talk about all the time, as it was the case with Kobe. Like, he's leaving it all out there. He is killing himself night in and night out to play. He's playing through injuries that most other guys would sit out for days or weeks or maybe even longer for, you know, and he's going out and still leading the team in points and rebounds and assists and threes and steals and blocks and it's like, I don't know, you know, even if sometimes he's not super locked in on defense, or even if he's complaining, getting texts, and, you know, it kind of makes things a little emotionally unstable at times on the floor, you know, there's never any doubt that guy is going to do whatever it takes to play. And that alone is inspiring from a leader. I mean, that he is the leader of the team, you know, emotionally and statistically. And like, if he's going to leave it all out there, then you better too. Otherwise they'll move on from you, you know. But I guess Nico and Patrick DeMont saw it differently. I guess Luka playing hurt, you know, was a consequence of his own hobbies and interests off court. You know, it wasn't because he's tough. It's because he needs to take better care of himself. And, you know, I guess all the players are wrong.
Bobby, you know, you mentioned about, I asked you the question about Jason Kidd, and you said maybe, you know, he just had enough, you know, needed a night off from that. Does him and Nico have the type of relationship, though, where he would have told Jason that he was doing this and maybe they talked this thing through? Yeah, I'm from my own NFL experience, you know, I've been around coaches and stuff. You kind of try and keep them on the same, you know, be on the same page with them. Is this something that maybe that Jason Kidd agreed with Nico on, and that's why they made this deal?
You know, maybe, but, you know, as it is, the only person in an NBA organization that is required to speak to the media every game and every practice is the coach.
Right.
You know, GMs can can duck, dip, dive, and dodge all they want. Even superstars don't have to talk every game or even ever if they don't want to.
Right.
But J-Kid, you know, has been the face of the team, you know, toward the media for a really long time now. So, I mean, it's possible that he agrees with Nico on that. It's possible that, he went rogue and did it himself. I mean, he's got a history of kind of taking matters into his own hands as head coach and even as player before. So, you know, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I can say is, you know, J-Kid is doing a hell of a job despite all the injuries and the circus going on off the court and within his own organization of getting these guys ready to play and having them fight and battle and scratch and claw, you know, every single night. But I mean, he's running out of bodies and I get his exasperation, you know, it's got to be impossible to put a game plan together. And so, you know, I don't know to what degree he and Nico aligned on the trade. I don't know to what degree he was excited about getting Anthony Davis. Maybe he was, maybe he's not at all, but you know, I can certainly sympathize with the dude. If he's like, this is a mess. None of it is my fault. You know, none of it is under my control. And I don't feel like doing it. And if it means paying a $5,000 or $10,000 fine to save yourself 15 minutes of agony, then I get it. You know, I guess we'll just see if it happens again.
It felt like just an alternate sports reality last night, Bobby, when the Mavs are in the final minutes against the Kings and you've got Luka tipping off in L.A. in a Lakers jersey, which was just bizarre to see. And then Dirk is not at the AAC. He is in L.A. watching Luka as a Laker. How powerful of a message do you think that was, that Dirk went to support his buddy Luka?
Actions speak way louder than words. I mean, that's what I can say. Seeing him on TV was, I mean, you're right, it was otherworldly. It felt like a, not a dream, it felt like a nightmare. But, I mean, Dirk also used some words, too. You know, he tweeted yesterday, I will always be a Mav for life, comma, but. You know, and that's the first time that Dirk has ever said but after something like that. It's always been Mav for life, Mavs forever, I bleed blue, like full stop. You know, and I think, you know, whether Dirk meant to do that or not, I don't think he's the most necessarily calculated, conniving poster. But I think that captures how a lot of fans feel right now. Like, a lot of fans love the Mavs, but there's that comma but after that. But I hate this trade, or I can't stand the GM, or but these owners aren't one of us, or I love the Mavs, but these aren't my Mavs. You know, and that, I think, that's such a powerful thing that Dirk did, whether he meant to or not. But I mean, that's the most succinct way of putting it, how people feel right now. And, you know, if it were my choice, I would have been in L.A. too, watching that, because I want to see what Luka does with LeBron. I want to see what he does with the Lakers. And, you know, the way this season is going, it seems like everybody in Dallas is going to have a lot of time to watch the Lakers while they're in the playoffs. And the Mavs are, you know, hoping the ping pong balls bounce their way.
Hey, Bobby, real quick here, and I'm going to ask you probably a little tough question here, but do they have a problem with their medical staff there in Dallas with people, you know, bringing people back from injuries? Are there some disconnects there? I know that's probably a tough question for you to answer.
Yeah, it's a tough question for me to answer. Obviously, you know, they're never going to be too specific about it. There's obviously been a lot of turnover, you know, on the training staff and the you know, all of the strength and conditioning people. And there's been a lot of new guys in there. However, I mean, they are all pros. And you know, like the Gafford injury is just such a freak thing. A dude ran into his knee like at full speed, and PJ sprained his ankle, and Derek Lively landed on a guy's foot, and like it's hard to tell how much of this is just being snake bitten versus, you know, maybe not being ready to play. I know that's a big conversation right now among fans, is like, did the Mavs rush AD back? You know, we probably won't ever know the answer to that. Maybe a reporter will be able to get to the bottom of it, but I mean, it's certainly a possibility. But, you know, Deon Calhoun is the head trainer for the Mavs, and he's been part of the organization for a really long time, has worked with Team USA and, you know, really, really high-level guy at his job. And, you know, so I just hope the public perception isn't that it's a bunch of people in there that don't know what they're doing, trying to figure it out as they go. I really think a lot of this is just, they are just extraordinarily unlucky. And, you know, unfortunately, they seem to be that team this year that is going to win probably 20 games fewer than they should, just because they cannot catch a dang break.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Enjoy it best you can. At least they got Max Christie, huh? That's pretty cool.
Dude, he's so good. Yeah. He is so good.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man. Warriors tomorrow. If everybody chants fire Nico, would they kick everybody out?
Maybe. I see fans saying, like, let's go, Nico. And, you know, so let's see what happens.
Appreciate you, man. There he goes. Bobby Corella, All-City Mavs here with you in the G-Bag Nation.
I like that. Let's go, Nico. Yeah. Let's go, Nico, bro.
That'll work. Okay. Top 10 at 420 time. Woolchuck, where are you taking us?
National Guitar Day. What are the top 10 most popular musical instruments? Is there one that you've played or wish you had of that?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
It's next in the nation.
Oh, yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. 6 o'clock, sound off in 90 minutes. We're about 15 minutes from a proper round trip where we'll go around the bases, give you some Ranger stuff, pitchers and catchers tomorrow. Here's the Woolly Bully, Zach, with an H.
Thank you very much. I'd encourage you guys to go back and listen to today's draft show. Already seeing Missouri Edge Johnny Walker Jr. He's popping off. Our buddy John Owning, he was listening to the show. He's like, dude, heard you talking about Johnny Walker Jr. Edge out of Mizzou. Went back, watched him. Holy crap, this dude's a sleeper. So sometimes we drop some decent nuggets on the draft show.
Sometimes.
A lot of the time, not so much. Just erase those from your memory. And
especially when Bobby's on.
Yeah, and today we didn't get Bobby. Bobby on.
We didn't have Bobby on today. It was a
and,
better show.
We will have Love of the Star. Now, I always encourage you to listen to Love of the Star wherever you get your podcast. But this Saturday, 11 a.m., the new Hurtado Barbecue in Dallas off Hardwood Street. We're going to be hanging out there starting at 11 o'clock. Brian Broaddus, it's myself, and Eric Giafalo.
You know what? The boss came in and said, and I don't know if DJ's listening or not, DJ Pridemore, who...
Just saw him down the hall.
Maybe if he's listening... Maybe
I think
lot.
He's getting our buddy George Sedano set up.
Okay.
For doing his show
Might
here.
Need to get George on tomorrow, preview Mavs Warriors.
That'd be fun.
Live mic situation. Maybe have a mic, ask
questions.
Let the fans ask some questions if you show up.
You're a Cowboys/Draft fan. You're going to want to be there on Saturday, Hurtado Barbecue, the new location in Dallas off South Harwood Street. It's going to be a blast.
I hope I can make it.
You better be there.
You're going to come for the tacos, aren't you?
Just come for the food, wave, and leave. That's fine.
I'll be out of town. Big soccer weekend.
Is this the Dallas Cup?
No, that's in March or April.
Is there a chance you're going to get tossed out of this tournament?
Nope, not coaching. Just dadding.
Oh, dadding.
Okay, so
I could still get kicked out. I have been kicked out as a dad as well.
Feel free to use the line. Hey, sir.
They don't need your help.
They don't need your help. They're good enough.
They're plenty good without you.
Man, that really ticked off a basketball ref one night. I got to tell you about that first.
You go, yes, sir.
They don't need your help.
Sir, they don't need your help. That's a good team over there.
You calling it a question my credibility, young
man? Yes, I am, sir.
877-881-1053. It's National Guitar Day. Have you ever played an instrument, and what is your favorite instrument? I did always want to play the drums as a kid. Mm. Never did. I did spend a year playing the cello. We had to choose like orchestra, band, or a choir in sixth grade. For whatever reason, I decided, I'll try out the cello for the year. Cello, there's a bass. I wasn't great. I made first chair one time, like a really slow song where I didn't have to like move the fingers a bunch. Otherwise, I was usually like third chair. I was not gifted.
Did you ever fake like you were playing?
Oh, yeah. There was one really fast song that we had to play like by the end of the year. I faked my way through that thing big time.
Like you kind of were like...
I just couldn't get it down. Yeah, we did a concert.
And you're moving your hands.
Meanwhile, I'm not playing a damn thing. Like Bo's not even touching chord. I'm just like going through the motions.
Yeah.
And the conductor's like, great job. Like, hell yeah, I'm crushing it right now. Yeah, I knew I was not going to continue playing cello, but fun instrument.
When I was a kid, I don't know what movie I saw, but there was some guy in there playing the saxophone, and I was like, dude, I got to try this.
Yeah.
So, fourth grade or fifth grade band or whatever, play the clarinet first. So I did that for a year, and then we went to saxophone. I was so bad at it. I was just horrible.
It's tough.
And I would practice, and I would still be bad, and... Eventually, I gave up before seventh grade started, maybe before sixth grade started. Yeah. And
did you have to go in, Gabby, what are you thinking about here? And did you have to like, oh, mom, walk us through that explanation with the highly educated dad teacher and then your mom, like, and now you're like, you're just bailing on like.
I think I had to talk him into getting an instrument because, getting a saxophone's expensive.
Yeah.
Right. And so they weren't too disappointed at all that I was bailing on it. I think they knew that I had no talent at it. I think a good parent's going to steer you away from something you're not good at, not make you continue to do something you're horrible at.
Sure.
Played drumline in high school from the 806, developed the skill to play piano, guitar, cello, and fiddle.
Jeez.
But can't read music.
Wow.
So you just kind of like memorize? Cool. Like, yeah, that's fantastic.
Isn't that Beatles style? Didn't John Lennon or something not be able to read music?
Brian?
One of those guys?
Mm.
Lucius? Do we know?
Yes, I do. Saxophone. I can play most of the saxophones. Ooh, really? I'm pretty good at it. Nice. I can read music, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I got tired of it.
Yeah.
Because I had to walk home with a saxophone, book bag full of books, lunch pail, everything, a mile and a half. I just got sick of it.
Dude, that stinks.
I remember my high school teacher begging me not to quit. First chair a lot.
So you were good.
Yeah, I was pretty good at it, dog. I always wanted to play the trumpet, though.
Yeah,
those guys got off, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Being a saxophone, you're kind of like the rhythm of it, but not not the rhythm, but you're kind of like the background.
Yeah.
You're real important, but if you're not there, it doesn't,
people aren't going to notice.
Yeah, it's that horn that's the horn, man.
It is beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. It jumps in on this Al Green song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's what I loved about being in New Orleans. Like just jazz music all over.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Everybody's talented out there. All the street performers.
Unbelievable. Number 10 is the cello, most popular musical instrument. So cello does come in at 10.
It is pretty cool in New Orleans when you stumble across like a jam session of homeless people that are hammered, but they're all like super talented. Oh, they're killing it.
No doubt. Like we
were, some buckets.
Yes. Yeah.
I was walking
playing
back.
The spoons.
It was the Thursday night, I think, with Joseph Hoyt of All City Dallas.
And you were drunk, yeah.
Hammered. Yeah. And so like we're walking by, like they got the vendors out there, like the bar's not serving food. So we're pulling up and we're doing the vending, but there's like a freaking jazz concert going on along the street. It was incredible. I threw those guys a couple of dollars. It was amazing. 9 is the trumpet. Never played it, but the trumpet would be cool.
It's amazing.
And that's also pretty big to lug around.
Well, trumpet is all right.
Not as bad as the saxophone.
Nah, man. Mm-hmm. You could tuck that under your arm and move.
8 is the flute.
Yeah.
7 is the violin.
I like the flute. It's very difficult to play.
It looks really hard. Yeah. There's a lot of buttons on there.
Like flute.
A lot of buttons.
It's clarinet, didn't it have the buttons?
Bobby Humphreys.
The flute pick. Bobby Humphreys was the badass flute player. 7 is violin.
See, that's what I would like to play.
6 is the keyboard.
Oh.
It's like, what would cool. really, is that like keyboard and piano? Is there a massive
like
difference?
Ray Manzarek from the Doors.
I think if you could do one, you can do the other.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
5 is drums.
Yeah.
Which I always thought would be
the
badass.
Best. Yeah.
But expensive. Like a drum set is expensive.
Yeah. If you're a drummer, you might as well just be a hockey goalie. You know, if you're playing hockey as a kid, like the goalie equipment's way expensive.
Right.
So if you're the drummer in the band, you got to load those things in and out. You know, you can't just show up with your
couple of
cases.
You got to have a roadie already.
Yeah, you got to have somebody that
definitely
can tune those things up for you.
Yeah.
And you can't practice anywhere.
No.
Oh, so loud.
Yeah, so loud.
My gosh. 4 is the saxophone.
So important, though, that darn drummer.
Yeah.
Oh, we need you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 is the saxophone. It's the easiest wind instrument to start with, they say.
That's what I got. I can play most of them.
3 is the ukulele.
Ukulele?
Ukulele?
Mm-hmm.
Ukulele comes in at 3. Very accessible instrument, so that's why it's very popular.
Is that the tiny guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that big old guy used to sing
I'll
with
tell you
it.
What, the electric ukulele, like Led Zeppelin, had guys that were they could play that little ukulele.
Oh, thing. They were crushing the ukulele?
They were great.
2 is piano. My sister played piano.
See,
I never did it.
That's what I want to do. I always wanted to walk into a hotel lobby with a piano and just walk in and sit down and start playing. And like people
just
like
wow everybody.
Just people freaking out like, whoa, look at this. Rick Carlisle can play the piano.
Really?
Yeah, Rick Carlisle.
Oh, you
really
sit down and you just crush it on the piano.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Lucius, you've heard of Bruce Hornsby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick can play like Bruce Hornsby songs.
That's beautiful.
Like he could just sit down and just start crushing.
He's talented right there.
Yeah.
There's a guy that local Tom Thumb plays for our Tom Thumb while we're shopping.
See, that's what I'm saying. I just love to come in and sit down and just be able to play songs.
Yeah. I was so happy that I didn't have the parents that forced the kids to do piano. Like they were like, oh my goodness, that piano again. This is horrible. They weren't having fun at all.
Yeah.
You know? I think you arrive at some point in adulthood, you can play the piano and then it's rewarding. You know?
Mm.
Or if you're really, really good at it, maybe as a teenager. Because you can sit down and do a piano. You're a one-man entertainment show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you can sing, it's over.
Yeah.
You know?
We got a lot of trombone chatter going
on. Lucius likes the skin flute. What?
Oh, come on.
See?
Come on, 669.
That's kind of stuff we deal with here on the text.
Bro. Eric's texting in.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it.
Gotcha, bro.
Yeah.
Trying to pull us off sides here. Number one, though, most popular instrument on National Guitar Day is the guitar.
Yeah.
The winner for the list is the guitar. Tough instrument to start with. May take a while before you play your first songs. But look, you can win a lot if you can sit down and play a guitar. That is an awesome party trick.
Lucius, have you ever seen Roy Clark play the guitar?
I don't think
the
I
country,
have.
The guy from like Hee Haw?
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix. I read a story. Jimi Hendrix, they asked him, like, what's it like being the best guitar player in the world? He says, I'm not the best guitar player. Roy Clark's the best guitar
100%
player.
Said
and I
that.
Went back and I started. Roy Clark from Hee Haw.
Really?
Can play the guitar.
Damn.
I mean, like, it's incredible the stuff that he does with the guitar. I think he's
Would he demonstrate that on the Hee Haw show regularly?
Oh, yeah. He could play like it's that kind of that, you know, the banjo, the guitar. He could
bluegrass style.
All those bluegrass stuff. But Hendrix said he was the best
just
guitar
shredding.
Player he'd ever seen. An electric. Him and Glenn Campbell actually did something together one time that was pretty, on electric guitars, it was pretty crazy. Back and forth, you know, dueling guitars.
Man, I got excited when you said that, bro. I need to sit down.
Yeah.
Ocean by John Butler. That's a really good guitar solo as well. It goes on for like 7 minutes.
I tell you what, he crushes it. I always like, you could go back Stairway to Heaven with Jimmy Page.
There is something like fun about a guitar solo.
Yeah.
Those guys just start riffing. Yeah. There's your top 10.
Thank you, old Chuck. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we have a proper round tripper. Let's go around the bases. Pitchers and catchers reporting. And a couple of really interesting arranger stories to get to next here. It's the G-Bag Nation, The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. We do have an eye out for anything developing in the world of the Mavericks. Can we get an injury update on one of these guys? Jason Kidd, no post-game show for the first time last night. No media sessions as frustration's boiling over for a lot. But we are looking forward now to Texas Rangers baseball. Pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow. You'll have opening day here about six and a half weeks away. And right here I have from the morning news five Rangers with a little extra on the line at 2025 spring training. This is players with a little something to prove, something to show. Great intel on some Rangers players here. And we start with the guy who we still don't know if he can hit lefties, Evan Carter. Can he stay healthy? Can he hit lefties? What's your confidence level here on Evan Carter? A historic debut, and when and where he did it was nothing short of legendary, Wolchuk. Has he already peaked? What do you think about Evan Carter?
I don't know that he's already peaked, but my gosh, it's hard to have crotch-first confidence like I did this time last year when he's been dealing with the back.
Yeah.
Like backs, man, everybody handles those differently. I think DeMarcus Lawrence is really the one athlete that comes to mind where it's, yeah, he had back surgery and came back and was an absolute stud. I would assume backs tend to get worse. Now, Evan Carter is still super young. He's still been growing into his body. I know Mike's talked about that a lot. So I'm hopeful that that is behind him because, I think he's still got the potential to be one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball, and I do think he'll be able to come around and figure out lefties. The problem is it was such a small sample size, and he was never right last year. So I do have pessimistic expectations, but overall, if you have a healthy Evan Carter, I think he's going to be a borderline all-star for you.
That would be incredible. Speaking of borderline all-stars, Adolis Garcia is number two on the list. And one of the interesting things I read in this piece about him is they removed a hitch in his swing early last season. He finally felt comfortable with it late, and maybe his production started ticking up late in the season as a result of that.
Yeah, and we saw that. I mean, that's the thing with Doley is he's so darn streaky. Early in the season, he can carry an offense for you, and then he might go into a month-long slump. But the health there, seems like everybody was just battling nagging injuries, and hopefully now you actually got a full offseason. Last year, I think that was something that affected the team. That was a question we would ask all the guys. But going forth and having a full offseason, hopefully these guys are healthier and ready to rock.
I mean, you're used to up and down from Adolis Garcia. You accept it. But to not have that extended dominating stretch that he usually gives you really hurt. Cody Bradford, third guy on the list going into spring training with something extra proof. Can he be so good that he forces the Rangers to make room by sending either Gray to the bullpen or trading Tyler Mallion? And a cost-cutting move, wrote Evan Grant. That could be interesting if you get prospects and bring it down so you could maybe use that space under the luxury tax threshold to address the bullpen.
I think John Gray has a very real chance of being your closer this year. I think that's something they are going to experiment with, and we'll find out more in a couple weeks when we get out there to surprise and what they're doing with John Gray. But I think you saw over the last 2 years with the Rangers, you can't have enough arms. I don't think I can afford to really move on from Tyler Mallie unless for whatever reason the compensation's like these are young prospects that I think are really going to contribute. I think you got to hold on to Tyler Mallie, but Bradford I think is your third best starter. I think he's right there behind DeGrom and Eovaldi, and Bradford's really your only lefty starter right now. So maybe that's something if you wanted to move Mallie, you're looking, can I add some more lefties to kind of balance out my righties that I have here with Rocker and Leiter, etc. But man, this team has had so many injuries, and Eovaldi's probably going to end up on the IL at periods this year. I think you need to try and keep as many starting pitchers as possible.
Number four on the list is Jack Leiter, an even tougher road than Bradford. He would need a big jump. Hopefully we see that when we get to surprise as far as location, consistency there from Leiter.
Are you more excited about him or Rocker?
Rocker.
Rocker by far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it just because of how Rocker looks?
Hopeful, yeah.
That Rocker stuff's better.
Well, and he had those three or four starts last year that were very promising.
Gave you some hope.
Yeah, elite type of stuff.
Leiter could also be a guy like you want him to be a starter, but could he end up sliding into like a long reliever role for you if you need to? If you just want to make sure all these guys are on the big league club.
Just remember that start that our guy Leiter had there in Detroit. It was like 30 degrees.
That was a tough one.
He just looked so uncomfortable out there.
Maybe it's just incremental steps for him. And, you know, you need him to be 10% better at this in surprise and then, you know, 10% better by the end of the year. And maybe he could be a solid number three or four starter for you. Jonah Heim failed. You know, he became the worst offensive catcher in baseball with at least 400 plate appearances last year. So they brought in Higashioka to maybe, you know, take 50, 60 starts, maybe even split it right down the middle. You know, if he doesn't have a big bounce back year, I think the idea of Higashioka taking over that role as more of an everyday catcher than Heim this season has to be on the cards. Even Heim's defense fell off last year. So that was a big disappointment.
Yeah, I think the thing about it, though, when they won the series, what did he play like? It felt like he played like 2 months straight.
Yeah, they did have another catcher to really platoon, and I think it was the wear and tear on his body. I think that's why you saw a big decline in his production.
I mean, he was amazing with his ability with the timely home run and ribbies and the defense that he was playing behind home plate. I really felt like they had one of the best catchers in the game, and hopefully he gets back to that. Where are we going next, Wolchuk?
All right, let's do some football's finest. We do have an MVP talking about the Cowboys' new offensive coach in Ken Dorsey. Don't look over Canada, and we almost have a fight between two major league pitchers in New Orleans. That's next in the Nation.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.